first scripture lesson we have has been changed to Matthew 25, 14 through 30. I will note that it's much longer. So let us prepare our hearts for the scripture reading by praying aloud together. Prepare our hearts, O Lord, to receive your word. Silence us in any voice. Okay, scripture reading is from Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Let us listen to the word of God. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. When he went away, the one who had received 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came to settle accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came first, bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And to the one who had the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed me over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For all of those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our next scripture reading comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. Let us listen to the word of God. "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discernment of spirits. To another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today we continue on our sailboat adventure, and this week we're talking about moving with the wind, which essentially means letting the Holy Spirit guide us. If you're anything like me, someone who's used to rowing, then this whole idea of moving with the wind is something I actually want to do. But putting it into practice sometimes might make us feel a little uneasy. There was this one church right near a growing university, and they felt a call to attract students to their church. Somehow the traditional service at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings just wasn't getting the job done. A seminary intern suggested having a service on Tuesday night and having a band. He invited a session to see a similar service at another church, so half the session went on this field trip. The discussion at the next meeting was lively. "I could hardly wait to get out of there," one of them said. The music, oh, it gave me a headache. They recognized it was overflowing with college students. And then one old member said this: "I hate that kind of music, and I would probably never come to this new service. But if doing this might help us reach young people that we might not otherwise reach for Christ, I'm all for it." When we move with the wind, sometimes we must rise above our own self-interest for the good of the church. Reverend Gray says, essentially, we follow the example of Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve. Another way to move with the wind is through the willingness to risk and fail. The parable of the talents we heard in our scripture reading today, it tells about three servants who are given money. And the first two servants are willing to risk. They're willing to risk a whole lot. And they receive twice as much. And the third servant is so worried of failure that he isn't willing to risk anything. So he buries his talent and has nothing to show for it when the master returns. Now, what does it mean to be successful? Part of the difficulty of this parable is we think we have to be doubly successful, right? Our culture tells us success is being bigger and more profitable each year. Positive numbers, positive cash flow, and even in this parable, it discusses about doubling the money. So somehow we translate that idea of success to the church. But if that's what we think, then we follow the third servant, burying our talent into the ground. Jesus lived out his call perfectly. He followed God's will, and was it successful? Maybe not by the world standards. He ended up dead on a Roman cross. However, if he was afraid of failure, if he buried his calling into the ground, he wouldn't have achieved salvation for humankind. Our number one goal shouldn't be success. It should be or failure. It should be following God's call for our lives, for our church, no matter that risk. If we want to move with the wind, we must not be afraid of taking risks, of trying, and maybe even failing. The risks may involve the church's finances, the church's buildings, or even the church's reputation in the community. On Christmas Eve in the 1950s, Hemp Hill Church's sanctuary burned down to the ground. It was a beloved classic country church in the community. The church's membership had been shrinking for years, and many thought the fire was the end of the church. Yet with visionary leaders, they looked beyond the disaster to see the possibilities of a new future. So they built a new sanctuary with a contemporary design, and as the plans went forward, the church started to revive. God brought new life out of the ashes. Now, what if they would have done it and it didn't revive them? What if they were scared and didn't even try something new? What if they would have buried their treasure out of fear? It's easy to do. It's almost our first response because it might make us uncomfortable. But Christ calls us in this parable to take risks, even if it's outside the box, something we've never tried before. And maybe it works and maybe it fails. Or maybe it's exactly what God's calling us to do. But if we don't do anything, then we end up burying our talent into the ground. So how do we find our talents in our church? 1 Corinthians 12 says that God gives spiritual gifts to every member of the church to empower the church for its mission. Everyone here has at least one spiritual gift, and some have many. So do you use your gifts to empower the mission for the church? A rowboat church follows the 80-20 rule. 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. A sailboat church finds a place for each and every person to use their gifts. If you're not using your gifts in the work of the church, or if you are one of the 20% doing all the work, stop and think about how that work can be shared. This is our time. It's our time for all hands on deck. A few weeks ago, I saw a flurry of emails from our deacons that they've been partnering with Salvation Army to help folks in our town. And one man over the past 3 years, Lynn Chief was telling me, had been homeless. And in the winters, he was literally living inside a cardboard box. You could imagine on those cold, icy winter days what that would have been like. It's too cold here for anyone to be living that way, certainly. And the Salvation Army helped him apply for public housing, and he got an acceptance letter in the mail, but he didn't have the $75 to put down. And the Salvation Army, they have policies set up, and they didn't have any more funds to give him at the time. So they asked our deacons to help, and now he has an apartment. And this winter, he has a warm place to rest. There was another family where the man lost his job and the Salvation Army helped him find odd jobs. He was hardworking and very reliable and doing some good work. They had some funds coming in, but they also had bills to pay and housing opened up, but they also needed help with that down payment. So for just $75, this family got into a place they could call home. That's a way all hands on deck has worked for us. Salvation Army is excellent at helping people, but they don't always have the funds that are needed. Our church has some funds and people that who ask for help all the time. There's all kinds of folks who come in here, but we don't have the time or the ability to discern who or how to help them. So we partner together and we use our gifts and our talents in very different ways together so that we get the same end result for people. To have a place to live, for people to get help along the way. Today we celebrate and share our gifts in the church. And every year around Valentine's Day, we ask everyone for all hands on deck. Give of your heart Sunday, some might say. It's a great way to get volunteers, isn't it? It's very clever. And certainly I quipped earlier for you to get involved by being an acolyte. But this isn't a job fair to recruit volunteers. It's a way our church can encourage you to use your spiritual gifts. It's a way to make 1 Corinthians 12 true for our lives. We make promises to support our elders who we ordained and installed. And Give of Your Heart Sunday is a way for us to fulfill those promises, to help and support them in doing their tasks, to support this church. And I hope you take a moment to checkmark these handouts. Ask questions. Find out how to get involved if you aren't. And if you're over-involved, invite someone and encourage them to get involved so we can get all hands on deck. If we want to be a sailboat church, these are the questions we're faced with. How do we let the wind move in this place? Where do we take a risk? Where's God directing this church, and where do our spiritual gifts live, lie as a community? In answering these questions, let's not let fear dictate what we do. We can't be afraid to risk it all. And we should use the gifts we've been given to share together with one another. It's when we risk and use our gifts together as a body that our church starts sailing. So let's get all hands on deck and start moving with the wind on this Give of Your Heart Sunday. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.